ever dream of ditching the 9-to-5, you know, building an online empire?
Sounds a lawyer.
Yeah, well, today we're diving into CPA affiliate marketing.
CPA.
It's buzzing online.
Definitely. Often with, those promises of easy money.
Exactly. And we've got our hands on this webinar by a successful internet marketer, at least that's what he claims, says he's cracked the code to online
A
profits.
code to online profits.
He's all about shortcuts, big promises, even throws in some heartwarming student success stories, to really reel you in.
That's a classic formula, isn't
All
it?
right.
And while we always encourage, a healthy dose of skepticism,
Of course, of course.
it's also worth taking a closer look, right? I mean,
Yeah.
is this marketer onto something, or is it just smoke and mirrors?
That's what we're here to find out.
Exactly.
Our mission today is to dissect his claims,
Love it.
separate fact from hype, and give you the knowledge to decide if this, if this whole CTA thing aligns with your online business aspirations.
Sounds like a plan.
Okay, so the marketer, he kicks things off by painting this picture of accessibility, like anyone with a laptop
Right.
can achieve online success today. He even says you can be, quote, more powerful now than he was back in the day with a whole team.
Interesting.
And to really hammer this point home, he tells the story about a 67-year-old student, supposedly built a website raking in $8,000 a month through his program.
It's certainly a compelling narrative.
Yeah.
Taps into that desire for financial freedom, right? Working from anywhere.
Dreams.
Exactly. It's easy to get swept up in the excitement, but
Of course.
online success, it rarely happens overnight. There are countless factors at play:
So will we.
market trends, individual effort, and let's not forget,
Look,
a little bit of luck never hurts.
never hurts. So true. It's like they say, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is.
Probably wise words.
But let's dig into the meat of his strategy, okay?
Let's do it.
CPA affiliate marketing. He spends a good chunk of time on this. So instead of the usual affiliate model where you get paid when someone buys something, right?
Right.
CPA or cost per action means you get paid for driving specific actions.
Okay, I'm listening.
So think like filling out a form, downloading an app,
Okay.
or even just staying on a website for a certain amount of time.
And that's a crucial distinction.
Right.
With traditional affiliate marketing, you're convincing someone to make a purchase.
Big commitment.
Often a significant one. CPA can feel lower stakes,
Definitely.
for the visitor at least. They're not pulling out their credit card, just taking a smaller action.
Less pressure.
Exactly.
And this marketer, he really hammers home the importance of finding what he calls, quote, high-paying niches.
Okay, high-paying niches.
Areas where advertisers are willing to shell out big bucks for those smaller actions.
Makes sense.
Like he uses the example of pest control.
Pest control, I guess.
Some advertisers will pay $40 just for a 60-second phone call from a potential customer.
It's a perfect illustration of how lucrative niche selection can be.
Right.
Finding those sweet spots where demand is high and competition might be a little less fierce.
Less fierce. That's the key.
That's the key. But it's not just about finding the niche, right?
Right.
It's about attracting the right kind of traffic to your site.
People who actually want what you're offering.
Exactly.
And to his credit, this marketer, he's not all about chasing hunches or the latest fads.
Good.
He's a huge advocate for using data.
Data-driven, I like it.
To back up your niche choices, like he walks viewers through his process, shows how he uses keyword research tools like Ahrefs, that's
Professor.
Ahrefs for those new to this world, and SpyFu
Classics.
to identify promising opportunities.
And that data-driven approach is something we can absolutely get behind. Understanding search volume, analyzing the competition, identifying those underserved areas within a niche.
So important.
Absolutely critical for long-term success. It's not just about jumping on a bandwagon,
Right.
it's about strategic positioning.
Strategic. I like it. And this is where his flip the market approach comes
Up
in.
the market, okay.
So instead of going head to head with the big guys, for a super competitive term like home security,
Right.
he suggests finding related keywords that tap into the same audience,
Oh.
but with less competition. So, example, targeting those searching for crime statistics.
Interesting.
Because those people, they're likely concerned about safety already, right?
Yeah, it makes
And
sense.
more receptive to home security solution.
It's a savvy strategy.
Right.
It shows an understanding of user intent and search behavior.
Exactly.
Because people searching for crime statistics, they're in a different mindset than someone just casually browsing for home security
Yeah.
systems. They're actively seeking information, potentially driven by fear or a recent event even.
Yeah, yeah. He even shows some of his own sites.
Oh, really?
As examples, real time. Pulls up his RF's dashboard to show how even websites he hasn't touched in a year are still getting thousands of visitors every month.
Wow.
And he points to profitable niches, termite control, for example, and how these sites, even neglected, are like cash cows.
Cash cows, nice.
Thanks to strategic niche selection, right? And evergreen content.
It's a compelling case for building online assets with staying power.
For sure.
But it's also important to note, relying solely on past success in the online world, risky.
Risky? How so?
Well, search engine algorithms, they're constantly evolving.
All right.
What worked a year ago might not work today.
So how do you stay ahead of the curve?
Good question.
Well, this is where things get really interesting. He's a huge proponent of, get this, leveraging AI.
AI, of course.
Particularly tools like ChatGPT. He practically lights up when he's demonstrating how he uses it.
Yeah.
For generating keyword ideas, whipping up content, even crafting social media posts.
And AI is undoubtedly transforming the content marketing landscape.
Right.
Offering incredible efficiency, insights even. But it's not a magic bullet.
Right.
Those AI-generated outputs often require a human touch.
Makes sense.
Editing, refining, infusing them with creativity.
Authenticity.
Right, because no matter how optimized your content is, if it reads like a robot wrote it, people aren't going to stick around.
Exactly.
But he seems to get this because he emphasizes what he calls content structure, which he argues is even more crucial than the content itself. And here's where he delves into the psychology of persuasion.
Okay, the psychology of persuasion. Go on.
It's not enough to just have good content. You need to guide your visitor. Lead them on a journey toward a specific action. Clicking your affiliate links. Downloading that lead magnet.
Lead magnet, that's a new one.
Industry jargon. A lead magnet is just a fancy term for a valuable freebie.
Oh, okay.
That entices people to hand over their email address.
Got it. Got it. So it's not just about blog posts then.
Exactly.
He's talking about applying this content structure to everything, right?
To everything.
Paid advertising, social media, anywhere you're vying for attention online.
It's about understanding how people consume information online, how they make decisions.
And how to nudge them in the right direction.
Precisely. He even says every piece of content should have a single focus, a clear goal.
Okay, I like that. Laser focus.
Focus.
Speaking of focus, he introduces this concept that seems almost like a shortcut on top of a shortcut. Buying established domains.
Ah, yes. The allure of skipping the line. Reaping the rewards of someone else's hard work.
Right. It sounds tempting. He's a big advocate for acquiring domains that already have traffic and rankings. Walks through his process using a platform called Spamzilla.
Spamzilla, okay.
To identify promising domains, analyze their potential, and then scoop them up to repurpose for profit. He even brags about snagging a domain for a couple $100 that he estimates could be flipped for at least $1,000.
Wow.
And that's before even adding new content.
It's a strategy that certainly carries appeal.
Right.
Especially for those eager to hit the ground running.
Makes sense.
But like any shortcut, proceed with caution.
Proceed with caution. Okay.
And a healthy dose of due diligence.
What kind of due diligence are we talking about? Give us the inside scoop.
Well, you want to understand why that domain is being sold in the first place.
Okay, yeah.
Was it neglected? Did it get hit with a Google penalty? Is the seller just cashing out? Or are there underlying issues you need to be aware of?
So it's like buying a used car then.
Exactly.
You got to make sure you're not inheriting someone else's problems.
Precisely.
You got to look under the hood, check the mileage, make sure it's not about to fall apart on you.
Exactly. And that careful inspection includes analyzing the existing traffic. Is it high quality traffic relevant to your niche?
Yeah.
Or is it just a bunch of bots and random clicks that won't convert into customers?
So you're saying even if the traffic looks good on paper, you got to evaluate if you can maintain it or even grow that traffic over time. Because what's the point of buying a domain that's popular for keywords that are about to, you know, become obsolete?
Exactly. And beyond traffic, you also need to consider the technical aspects.
Oh, right. The technical stuff.
Has the domain been penalized by Google?
Mm-hmm.
Are there broken links or other technical gremlins lurking beneath the surface? These are all critical factors to consider before you even think about whipping out your wallet.
Okay, so buying established domains. Bit of a gamble.
A little bit, yeah.
Not as simple as this marketer makes it sound. But he backs up his claims with what he calls student success stories.
Of course.
Right.
Gotta have those testimonials.
He highlights a student who bought a domain in the gun niche.
The gun niche, okay.
And is supposedly making a killing selling tactical gear and cleaning kits.
Ratchet.
Which, of course, brings us to the ultimate question. Is this all just clever marketing to sell his coaching program?
The big question.
Because he's very upfront that he offers coaching. Towards the end of the webinar, he lays it all out. Done for you website setup, personalized niche guidance,
yeah.
Ongoing support,
War.
Access to a private community. It's a lot.
It certainly sounds comprehensive.
Yeah.
And there's no denying the value of mentorship, right?
Exactly.
Especially in the world of online business, it can feel overwhelming.
Totally.
Having a guide, a sounding board, someone to bounce ideas off of, it can be invaluable.
It's like having a Sherpa, you know?
Exactly.
Guiding you up that mountain of online business, helping you navigate those treacherous paths.
Precisely.
Yeah.
But as with any guide, it's crucial to evaluate their credentials, their track record, and their motives.
Okay, so before we get into the potential pitfalls and ethical considerations of these coaching programs, let's pause here and pick up the thread in part two of this deep dive.
So this marketer's coaching program promises the world, right?
Right. Personalized guidance, done-for-you setup, access to a supportive community.
But it's important to remember, no program, however comprehensive, can guarantee success.
Of course not. It's not a magic pill or anything. There's still work involved, skills to be learned, a healthy dose of hustle required. But it's tempting to believe, right, that these programs offer a shortcut, especially when they showcase those, what do you call them?
Those tantalizing student success stories.
Exactly, those ones.
Yeah.
So how do we separate like genuine value from clever marketing? What should people be looking for when they're evaluating these programs?
Firstly, transparency is key.
Transparency. Okay.
Does the program clearly outline its methodology, curriculum, pricing? Are there hidden costs, upsells lurking beneath the surface?
Right, because no one likes a bait and switch. You want to know exactly what you're getting into before you hand over your hard-earned cash.
Absolutely. And beyond transparency, look for evidence of tangible results.
Tangible results. Okay.
Do they have legitimate testimonials? Case studies from students who have achieved measurable success using the program's methods. And not just a handful of cherry-picked examples. Look for a pattern of positive outcomes.
It's like checking the reviews before you book a hotel, right? Or try a new restaurant.
Exactly.
You want to see what other people's experiences have been like, not just rely on the glossy marketing materials.
Precisely. And don't hesitate to dig deeper.
Deeper. Okay.
Look for reviews, discussions about the program outside of their own website. Hmm. What are people saying on forums, social media? Are there red flags, criticisms that give you pause?
That's such an important point, because sometimes the most revealing information is what they're not telling you on their perfectly polished sales page.
Exactly. And finally, consider your own goals, your learning style, your budget even. Not every program is a good fit for every person.
Right. Just because it worked for someone else doesn't guarantee it'll work for you.
Exactly. So do your research, trust your gut, and don't be afraid to walk away if something feels off.
Solid advice. Now, let's circle back to this marketer's emphasis on high-ticket niches. Throughout the webinar, he keeps hammering home the importance of finding those lucrative corners of the internet, right? Where advertisers are willing to pay top dollar for leads or specific actions.
It's an undeniably attractive proposition.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Who wouldn't want to tap into those money-making machines?
Exactly.
But here's the thing about high-ticket niches. They're often highly competitive as well.
It's like that old saying, if it were easy, everyone would be doing it.
Precisely. So while it's great to aim for those high-paying opportunities, it's essential to have a realistic understanding of the challenges involved.
So it's not just about finding the right niche. It's about finding a way to stand out from the crowd, to differentiate yourself and really capture attention in this increasingly noisy online world.
Exactly. And that's where this marketer's emphasis on data-driven decision-making and strategic content creation come into play.
Right. Because no matter how lucrative your niche is, if you can't attract the right audience and convince them to take action, you're not going to see those big profits. Speaking of action, let's revisit this marketer's concept of content structure and how it ties into his overall strategy.
It's fascinating, isn't it? He argues that the structure of your content, how you present information, how you guide the reader's eye, how you subtly nudge them towards a specific action, it's even more important than the content itself.
It's like he's saying, it's not just about what you say, it's about how you say it. It's about understanding the psychology of persuasion, right?
Exactly.
And using those principles to craft content that converts.
He even goes so far as to say that every piece of content should have a single, clearly defined goal.
Oh, interesting.
Whether it's driving traffic to a sales page, getting someone to sign up for your email list, or simply increasing brand awareness. Every word, every image, every call to action should be strategically aligned with that objective.
Wow, it's a laser-focused approach to content creation, that's for sure. And it makes sense, but I'm curious, how sustainable is this approach in the long run?
That's a great question. And it speaks to the broader debate within the online business world. Is it better to specialize, to become an authority in a single niche, or to diversify your income streams?
Across multiple platforms, markets, all of that.
Exactly.
So it's like the age-old dilemma, putting all your eggs in one basket versus spreading your bets. So what approach does this marketer champion?
He's firmly in the focus on a single niche camp. He argues that by pouring all your energy and resources into mastering a specific market, you can become a recognized expert, command premium prices, and build a loyal following.
But isn't that kind of a risky strategy? What happens if, like, your niche suddenly dries up, or if competition intensifies, or you just, you know, you get bored and you want to try something new?
Those are all valid concerns, and it's where the diversification strategy holds appeal. By having multiple income streams, you're less vulnerable to market fluctuations or unexpected challenges in any one area.
Right, it's like having a safety net. Right.
Exactly.
If one stream dries up, you've got others to fall back on.
Exactly. But diversification also brings its own set of challenges.
Okay, like what?
Well, it requires strong organizational skills, effective time management, and the ability to juggle multiple projects without, well, without dropping the ball.
So it's not a one-size-fits-all answer then, is it?
Not at all.
The best approach really depends on your personality, your risk tolerance, your long-term business goals.
Precisely. And it's a decision that deserves careful consideration. There's no right or wrong answer. But it's important to weigh the pros and cons of each approach and choose the path that aligns best with your individual circumstances.
So we've covered a lot of ground here, from the allure of high-ticket niches and the importance of data-driven decision-making to the psychology of content structure and the debate between specialization versus diversification. Mm-hmm. But there's one final piece of this marketer system that we need to unpack.
You mean his bold claim of having found a shortcut to online success?
Exactly. Throughout the webinar, he keeps using this language, shortcuts and hacks, implying that his methods offer a faster, easier path to online profits compared to the traditional, you know, grind. But is that really the case? Or is it just clever marketing designed to entice aspiring entrepreneurs? Let's delve into that question in the final part of this deep dive. So we've really dissected this marketer's system.
We really have.
From the data-driven niche selection
right.
to his content structure. But the big question, right?
The goal.
Is it really a shortcut to online success, like he claims?
It's the million-dollar question, isn't it? And to answer it, I think we need to define what we even mean by shortcut.
Okay. Yeah, good point.
Because let's be honest.
Yeah.
Who doesn't love a good shortcut?
Right? I guess it.
We're all looking for ways to save time, effort, get ahead faster.
For sure.
But are shortcuts always what they're cracked up to be?
That's a great point. It's like taking a back road to avoid traffic.
Okay.
Sometimes it saves you time.
Right.
But other times you end up on this bumpy dirt road wishing you'd just stayed on the main highway.
Exactly. And in the world of online business, those shortcuts, they often come with trade-offs.
Oh, interesting. Like what?
Well, take his strategy of buying established domains.
Right, right.
On the surface.
Yeah.
Seems like a brilliant way to skip, you know, the initial grind of building a website from scratch.
Totally.
You're inheriting someone else's traffic, their search engine authority.
It's like buying a house that's already fully furnished.
Right.
Move-in ready.
Exactly. But just like with that house.
Yeah.
You need to be aware of potential hidden problems.
Oh, okay. Like what?
Maybe the plumbing's a mess. Or the roof needs replacing, or there are noisy neighbors you didn't factor in.
So you're saying even with a shortcut like buying a domain, due diligence is still crucial.
Absolutely.
You got to vet the domain, analyze its history, make sure you're not inheriting someone else's problems.
Precisely. And that principle applies to any shortcut in online business, really.
Okay.
Whether it's leveraging AI for content,
Right.
Using automation tools
mm-hmm.
or tapping into paid advertising.
Right.
There's always a learning curve.
Yeah.
A potential for missteps.
Of course.
And the need for, you know, careful planning and execution.
It's like they say, there's no such thing as a free lunch.
It's true.
Even with shortcuts, there's always a cost, whether it's time, money, or the risk of, you know, those unexpected challenges.
Exactly. And I think that's an important point to remember, especially for aspiring entrepreneurs. You
yeah.
know, those who might be feeling a little overwhelmed by all the information and advice out there.
It's a lot.
It is. It's easy to get swept up in the hype of shortcuts and hacks.
Yeah.
But sustainable success.
Yeah.
In online business or any business, really, it requires effort, persistence,
hard work,
and a willingness to learn and adapt.
It's about playing the long game.
It really is.
Building a solid foundation, developing your skills,
mm-hmm.
nurturing those authentic connections with your audience.
Exactly. And while shortcuts, they might offer a temporary boost
right.
or accelerate certain parts of your journey,
yeah.
they can't replace the fundamentals.
They can't replace the fundamentals. Okay.
In fact, relying too heavily on shortcuts
yeah.
can sometimes be detrimental.
Oh, detrimental. How so?
Well, if you're always searching for that easy way out, the quick fix,
yeah.
you might miss out on valuable lessons.
Oh, okay.
Essential skills.
Right.
And that deep satisfaction that comes from building something meaningful from the ground up.
That's a really good point.
It's like taking a shortcut through a museum, right?
Okay, yeah.
You might get to the exit faster, but you miss all the incredible art and history along the way.
You miss the whole experience.
Exactly.
So as our listeners are, you know, getting ready to embark on their own online business adventures, what's the key takeaway here? Should they just ditch the shortcuts altogether, embrace the long, arduous climb to success?
Not necessarily. I don't think it's about avoiding shortcuts completely. It's more about using them strategically.
Okay, I like that.
With a clear understanding of their limitations and potential drawbacks.
So using them wisely,
yeah.
strategically, in conjunction with, you know, a solid foundation of knowledge, okay. skills, and a long-term vision.
I think that's key.
Yeah, and maybe most importantly,
yes.
it's about defining what success means.
Absolutely.
To you.
To you.
Yeah.
Is it about financial freedom? Building a fulfilling career? Making a difference.
But because the path you choose, the strategies you use, even your definition of a shortcut, it all depends on your own personal definition of success.
Exactly. There's no one size fits all, right?
Right.
The journey is yours to define.
That is so well said. Well, on that note, I think it's time to wrap up this deep dive into the world of CPA affiliate marketing.
I think so, too.
We explored this business model, examined the claims of this marketer.
We really dug deep.
And hopefully gave our listeners a lot to think about.
I hope so.
Especially if they're building or thinking about building an online business.
That's an exciting world out there.
It is. And it's always evolving.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
Which is why it's important to stay informed, stay curious.
And most importantly, never stop learning.
Couldn't agree more.
Well, on that note, thanks for joining us on this deep dive, everyone.
Until next time.